everyone. Welcome back to Faded Tales, the podcast where we uncover the stories of the world's most endangered animals and reveal their stories and the efforts to save them. I'm your host, Zoya, and today we are venturing into the misty mountain forest of the Himalayas to meet a creature that is as elusive as it is adorable, the red panda. So sit back, relax, whatever you do when you listen to a podcast, grab a cup of cocoa, tuck yourself in the blanket, and yeah, join you soon. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. So let's get into the red pandas today. I really wanted to talk to you guys first, but I just want to get into the episode right away today. Well, I want to give you a heads up. I am fasting for Ramadan. So if my voice feels like raspy, if you hear like all those, it's just because I'm fasting. No worries. All right, let's get into the episode of the red panda. Red pandas, often called the original pandas, were given their name long before the giant pandas were ever discovered. These small, tree-dwelling mammals are known for their rust-colored fur, bushy ringed tails, and striking facial markings. They look like a mix between a fox, a raccoon, and maybe even a teddy bear. But despite their name, they aren't closely related to the giant pandas. In fact, their closest relatives are the weasels and skunks. But here's the troubling truth. There have been fewer than 10,000 red pandas left in the wild, and their numbers are steadily declining. Some estimates suggest the population could be even lower as habitat destruction and poaching continue to threaten their survival. Found in the temperate forests of Nepal, India, Bhutan, and China, red pandas spend most of their time in the trees, using their sharp claws and semi-retractable thumbs to grip on branches. They're mostly solitary, except during mating season, and they're incredibly picky eaters. Like their namesake, they love bamboo. But they also snack on fruits, berries, and even bird eggs when the opportunity arises. Interestingly, despite their dependence on bamboo, red pandas actually have a digestive system that isn't optimized for it. It's kind of exactly like when I talked about the giant panda. So as members of the order Carnivora, their gut is more suited for protein than plant matter, which means that they have to consume about a significant amount of bamboo daily to get the nutrients that they need. A single red panda to produce, this is to put you guys in perspective, a single red panda can eat up to 20,000 bamboo leaves in a single day. That's how much they need to survive. However, they also exhibit some clever eating habits. For example, they will climb higher into the trees to find younger, more nutrient-rich bamboo shoots and leaves. Another fascinating behavior is their use of scent marking. Red pandas have scent glands on the bottom of their feet, which they use to mark trees and rocks, communicating with others in the area. These markings help define territory and play a role in mating. Unlike many other mammals, red pandas are crepuscular. I might be pronouncing that wrong. I'm so sorry. Meaning that they are mostly active during dawn and dusk. This allows them to avoid predators, to avoid predators while making the most of their feeding time. Oh, I don't know why I'm stuttering so much today. Probably because I'm fasting. Whatever. But what's let's continue. What is putting them at risk? Let me tell you that. One major friend is our old friend deforestation. It's the most common way that animals are going extinct. But so you'll hear it often on this podcast if you haven't heard it before. As human populations expand, forests are being cut down for agriculture, livestock, and infrastructures. Without the dense forest homes, red pandas lose both their food sources and high altitude environment, which this is what they depend on to survive. The fragmentation of their habitat also isolates populations, making breeding more difficult and decreasing genetic diversity. Another threat, poaching. It's one of the most common. Red pandas are illegally hunted for their fur, particularly their warm, bushy tails, which are sometimes used for traditional hats in certain regions. They are also captured for the exotic pet trade. Though they are protected by law in many countries, enforcement is often weak, allowing these illegal practices to continue. In some areas, red pandas are also inadvertently caught in traps meant for other animals, further contributing to their decline. Well, there is some good news in all this bad news that we have with the red pandas. The good news is that conservationists are working hard to protect red pandas. Organizations like the Red Panda Network and the World Wildlife Fund, the most popular of them all, the World Wildlife Fund, you're probably often going to hear this in the podcast, are establishing protected areas, wildlife corridors, and education programs to ensure these animals have a future. One promising initiative involves partnering with local communities. In places like Nepal, conservationists are helping farmers adopt suitable agricultural practices that reduce deforestation. Ecotourism is also becoming a vital tool. Visitors who trek through red panda habitats provide funding for conservation while raising awareness about these rare animals as well. Another initiative approach is the using of GPS collars and camera traps to monitor wild red panda populations. Researchers can track their movements, understand their habits, and implement better conservation strategies. With this data, conservationists can identify key areas to protect, ensuring the survival of these unique creatures. And there's one that you guys may all know is zoos and breeding programs. Why do you think we have them in the zoos? These all play a crucial role in conservation. Many zoos worldwide participate in breeding efforts to maintain a healthy genetic pool. And some even reintroduce captive-born red pandas into protected wild areas. However, these efforts must be carefully managed as red pandas require specific environments to thrive. So, what can you guys do to help? Like, what is the way we can do to help? Like, what is the one of the ways we can do to help? Supporting conservation groups, spreading awareness, and choosing sustainable products such as FSC certified wood and paper can make a difference. Even small actions like refusing to support illegal wildlife trade and advocating for stronger environmental protections help protect the red panda's future. Educating others about the importance of biodiversity and sustainable practices is also crucial in ensuring that red pandas and their habitats are preserved. Another way to help is by engaging in citizen science programs. Some organizations allow volunteers to help with data collection, whether it's tracking red panda sightings or contributing to habitat restoration projects. By staying informed and involved, we all can play a role in making a difference. Now, I want to talk about why I'm doing this episode. I think I mentioned it last podcast. I was talking with some like my friends, and they were, I told them about this podcast I do for you guys, and they said, oh, you gotta do the red pandas. And I'm like, I love red pandas. Like, red pandas are my favorite. Yeah. And like, and so I was going to do like today an extinct animal species episode, but I think I'm gonna wait for that in like 2 weeks maybe. Yeah, because I wanted to do like a special like end of season episode sort of thing. I want to continue doing that because I'm gonna continue doing the show next year, so I'll see you guys next semester as well. So I want to also tell you, I am part of the world, not the World Wildlife Fund, I was gonna say but I'm part of Laurier Animal Rescue on our campus, and I did like a question for red pandas, like a true or false, truth and a lie. If I remember correctly, it's that the red panda, yeah, I have it right. So this is what it is. Like, the red pandas, they sleep for like 17 hours a day. They are awake at dusk and dawn, but I didn't tell you that they literally are sleeping for the rest of the day. Yeah, it's crazy. And the how do they sleep? Well, it's kind of cute. they sleep in their tails. It's as cute as it sounds. Like, a red panda's tail can measure up to 12 to 20 inches long. Which is almost the length of their total body. So this provides them with supreme balance while navigating the treetops. And they also use these tails as wraparound blankets in the chilling mountain habitats. It's so cute. Honestly, you guys gotta look at a picture. It's like so cute. Another quick fact is they kind of quack like a duck. It's kind of funny. They're usually quiet creatures, but they have been heard to make a variations of sounds, like including tweets, squeals, grunts, hiss, and even a huff quack. It's kind of funny. And another thing is kind of funny. Why are they red? Like, you might think, like, why are they red? How is this gonna help them survive? What is the point of this? Well, red pandas blend in great with red moss, white leash, and yellow and orange red foliage of their forest habitat. And their black bellies make it difficult to see from below. So it's kind of like a unique way. So you know, sometimes predators are also colorblind, I think, in a sense, but they can see red. I don't know. Can I see red or is it green? Anyway, yeah, I can't remember right now. But I'm doing like this is a whole fun fact segment, cause I just want to keep talking, even though I want to, like, to be honest to you guys, I'm really tired. but I'm gonna keep giving you content. And this is like a quick fun fact section, and then I'm gonna attend you on to the script that I have written. So. If you guys don't know, most of my scripts I try to write as much as I can, but it always ends up being like 17 like 10 minutes long, and I have to keep like making it up on the fly. It sucks, but I'm trying my best. But anyway, another fun fact is they glow in the dark. The white on the red panda's face is almost luminescent, and they can and can guide a mother's lost cubs in the darkness. The reddish tear tracks extended from the white red panda's eyes in the corner of their mouth may help them keep out the sun out of their eyes as well. And I think another cute fact about red pandas is they can stand on their hind legs. Oh my god, it's so cute. Like, it's like when provoked. Like, I mean, I don't know if you guys seen the video. It's like when they like are standing up with their hind legs and their paws up in the air and appear larger. It's like so cute. But it's like it's to make them like afraid. It's so cute, but I love it. Sorry, I'm tired. I've told you guys I'm tired. I yawn. another fact is instead of like the four fingers and a thumb that four fingers and a thumb paw that the giant panda has, the red panda has five fingers and then a pseudo thumb, and which is enlarged Like, it's enlarged, like, modified wrist bone that, like, helps climb trees and grab bamboo stems. Giant pandas, I told you guys, giant pandas also have this as well, but this is, like, for other different reasons. This pseudofoam is, like, an example of convergent evolution, which is when, like, two unrelated animals faced with similar circumstances evolved to look so similar. In the case, the red panda's false foam evolved to help it climb trees and only later became adapted for the bamboo diet, while the giant pandas evolved this virtually identical feature because of their bamboo diets. So, red pandas evolved it to climb, but then became part of their bamboo diet, and then the giant pandas evolved it just for the bamboo diet, because, yeah. I only told you, like, one name they have many names, honestly. The red panda has many names. They are, which include the fire fox, the red bear cat, the red cab bear, and then the lesser panda. Yeah, they were called the lesser panda. It's kind of sad. I was going to include that at first, but I was like, no way. It's better to just say the original panda. But yeah, like, so I'm going to tell you, like, a little bit more history. I didn't tell you a lot of history with the, like, I told you that they were the first panda discovered before the giant panda, but this is, like, the full history. So, in 1825, nearly 50 years before the giant panda was discovered, Frederick Cuvier first described the red panda as the most beautiful animal he has ever seen. Georges Frederick Cuvier was a French zoologist and paleontologist who was the head keeper of the Menagerie at the Museum d'Histoire Naturelle in Paris from 1804 to 1835, the year he died. But, like, he died in 1838, but, like, I'm so sorry. My French was, like, really bad. It's been a long time since I spoke French. He was the younger brother of the founding father of paleontology, Jean Lapointe Nicolas Frederick. This Georges Frederick is the one who discovered the panda I'm talking about now. This is who I'm talking about now. His work was also widely known and was even mentioned in Charles Darwin's On the Original Species and in Herman Melville's Moby Dick. Georges Frederick actually first described the Western red panda. I forgot to give you the the full name. The scientific name is Allurus flugens flugens. I hope I pronounced that right. But in 1987, F.W. Stein discovered another red panda subspecies and named it Allurus flugens Stiani, now refugnans. Now you can see why red pandas are the first panda, the original panda. That's why they're called the original panda. That is the full history of the why they are called the first panda. It's kind of unique because you would think that the giant panda would be the first one you would think of, but no, it's actually them. So, yeah. It's really unique, to be honest. The red panda is really unique. Like, they are, like, a symbol of, like, a delicate balance of the ecosystem, a reminder that every species, no matter how small, plays a role in the biodiversity. They are not just adorable creatures, they are vital to the forest ecosystem, helping to maintain a balanced food chain and contributing to forest regeneration through seed dispersal. If we don't act now, we risk not only losing the red panda, but the entire fragile ecosystem it supports. The conservation of red pandas is about more than just saving a single species. It's about protecting an entire environment that sustains countless other plants and animals. Beyond the forests of Asia, red pandas have captured the hearts of people worldwide, inspiring conservation efforts and becoming a symbol of resilience. But their survival depends on a collective effort, whether it's through donations, spreading awareness, or supporting policies that protect wildlife, every action counts. So, yeah. As we wrap up this episode, I want to challenge you to learn as much as you can about the creatures that share our world. Read about them, watch documentaries, and stay informed, because understanding is the first step towards change. Let's not let them fade into the past. Thank you for tuning into Faded Tales. If you enjoy this episode, check out more that I've done this semester on the Rayo Lori page, and share it with your fellow animal lovers. Every listener helps spread awareness, and together we can make a difference. So, until next time, this is your host, Zoya, and I'm signing off. Goodbye!